playing with my dials over here.
Got it all sorted out over there, Rome?
I don't really.
No. Well, that's all right.
But I've got things I've got to... There are buttons I need to push, and then dials I need to turn, and it's all kind of crazy here.
You always push buttons.
Yes, that's what I do.
You're
on the Rome Con Show with Anna DeVlantis. We've got Ben Bradley coming up in just a few minutes, talking about the big news of today is in Chicago, is that after 131 years of being Chicago's very own, Sears has gone BK.
I know it. Think about that. Although you think about when's the last time you really shopped in a Sears. I mean, I know our parents' generation, even growing up, everyone shopped at Sears. You really wouldn't buy an appliance without going into a Sears. And now that hasn't been the case for
years. I bought my refrigerator from Sears.
How long ago?
A year. Really? Maybe a year and a half. I know. And you know what? I did check out a lot of other, because, you know, I'm the good buyer.
You got
girl.
A Kenmore? What did you get? Did you get a Sears brand or did you
it
buy
any? It is a Kenmore. It is a Kenmore,
yeah, okay,
actually.
That's a Sears brand. All right.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I think they sell more than just their Sears brand
do.
In there. Right?
Yep, they do. But that, you know what? It was a good deal. I checked out other stores, other places, and it was good. Everything was great about it.
Sears.
What could possibly go wrong? I'll never be able to get service from Sears again.
Or a warranty.
You know.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I it's done anyway.
But if you go on their website right now, a lot of great deals as they find their way through.
But
the
and I don't
bankruptcy.
Know that they're closing every store, right? Because it's
well, they're going through bankruptcy. They're going to try to restructure. There's bankruptcy protection. There's the bankruptcy is there are a lot of ways you can come out of bankruptcy. And still, you could still operate during bankruptcy. It depends on what the judge decides and what their plan is. The problem is that they owed millions upon millions of dollars.
Yeah, I think their revenue was X, and then they owe 2X on the debt on that amount.
Right,
they owe $11 billion.
Right, but they had a single payment due of $140 million or something like that, like that was due today. So they had to figure out what they were going to do. So that's when they call up the guy, go, "Hey, we don't got it." You do the thing like the Monopoly guy when the right. the chance card comes up and he's pulling his pockets out and he said, "Hey, we're tapped out. We can't do it.
Not going to happen."
Because they've been called because this guy's been asking them for money. I just want to put this in a sense that I think we could all understand, and especially for Kevin. Okay, so this is like when your bookie calls and goes, "Hey, you're a little behind." You go, no, don't worry. I get it next Monday. I get paid Monday.
I thought I had more time.
No, I'll get paid. And then Monday goes by. I go, no, I get it next week. No, I got it next week. And now we're at the final next week. And literally the guys are like at the door and like, hey, there's one guy just kind of who has.
Why do they break his leg?
He's got a craftsman wrench, a large craftsman wrench in his hand.
Very large
craftsman. Yeah. Won't be able to get those anymore.
Right, and he's just kind of.
Listen, the Packers are going to cover tonight. I'll get you the money first thing tomorrow morning.
But here's the problem: how long does the bookie believe that story? Because Sears has been going through this. Yeah, I'll pay you later. Yeah, I'll meet that deadline. They sold off assets like craftsmen to try to meet those deadlines, and then at some point you don't have anything that valuable to sell off anymore.
Yeah,
other than your core retail business, which hasn't performed very well.
Right. I guess the brand name, well, there are other names. Obviously, Craftsman was a big brand name. It was a great brand name.
Yeah, very good.
And I don't know, but I want to bring back the tough skin jeans.
See, that's what they should do. Go retro. All the things that bring back nostalgia of your youth, like growing up, and, you know, go get the craftsman stuff and the jeans and what else? The blenders and those vacuum cleaners that they used to.
I think the problem with the Craftsman jeans is they're like Craftsman jeans. If you're wearing the tough skin jeans, you can't run away from the bookie because you actually they're too stiff. So you're just kind of just shuffling your hips as you're trying to move away. It's a crazy thing.
Anyway, so
Ben will be on to discuss that in just a few minutes with us, and then Brett Baer is going to join us, our old friend Brett Baer for the Fox News Channel. Now, there is a story developing now. The Wall Street Journal, which is owned by the same company as Fox News Channel, is reporting that that the Saudis are prepared to make a statement about the death of Jamal Khashoggi, in the statement, they are willing to blame rogue. This is a quote here: rogue operatives. But this is just breaking right now. This is, I think CNN has had the story for about 45 minutes, almost an hour. Wall Street Journal is now pushing this story. But 6 hours ago, this is what the president said at the White House.
We are going to leave nothing uncovered. With that being said, the king firmly denied any knowledge of it. He didn't really know. Maybe I don't want to get into his mind, but it sounded to me like maybe these could have been rogue killers. Who knows? We're going to try getting to the bottom of it very soon. But his was a flat denial.
So what the Saudis have done here is they had the president of the United States go out and allude to this.
Mm-hmm. Deliver to, what they would like the world to hear.
To drop the story. It sounds like it could be rogue killers, or they'll say rogue operatives, or whatever it happens to be, rogue being the operative term.
Right.
He's the one who is seeding this. Is it the role of the presidency of the United States to go and create cover for a regime that killed a journalist? That I'm not comfortable with.
Doesn't feel comfy. I mean, rogue killer, the whole theory of it, though, makes it seem difficult to understand. How do rogue killers get into the Saudi consulate and then be able to do what they were able to do and take care of business in the way they were without anyone noticing?
Well, and it can't be an accident if it was planned, right? If it's a planned event and these guys came prepared with what we are told by the Turks were bone saws and other items that to dismantle his body.
Right.
That doesn't seem like it was up. You know, we were afraid this might happen, but we're prepared.
Yeah, where'd that guy go who was here for the marriage license or whatever he was there for? I mean, it feels like how does no one know about this?
Well, they do. And the Turks apparently do, because there may be that this may actually have ended up on a server because he may have activated his Apple Watch.
Hmm. The Apple Watch is good for something.
That recorded this incident. So we'll just have to see what comes of it over the next couple of hours. But I find it unsettling that the president is the king of Saudi Arabia. By the way, is in poor health and is said to be not always lucid as he is getting much older. His son, the crown prince. Mm-hmm. Who Mohammed bin Salah is the MBS, as he's known, is the guy who may be running the government now. But the president was talking to the king, the dad, the old man. And Jared apparently talked to, not the guy from Subway, but the Kushner, Jared talked to MBS. And the question is, what is MBS saying? Because he would be the one that would know, and he would be the one in charge of the secret police, because he's the guy that's been rounding up everybody. So I think that, you know, more to come from this, because it is unsettling. We don't want to be, just because they're buying $110 billion worth of our military equipment,
right,
that they'd be buying regardless, doesn't mean that they have a right to go around and kill journalists, especially a U.S.-based journalist.
And you look the other way.
Not an American citizen. I get that. And there are people, but it is a human life and a guy working for the United States who was attempting to get permanent residency because he was fearful of this regime. And
the president has vowed severe punishment, you know, if they find the evidence that the Saudis were in fact involved in this. But you wonder what happens.
All right, let's check in with Ben Bradley coming up right after we check in with Judy Pilak in the WGN radio newsroom. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Two Chicago police officers facing firing in a fatal shooting.
On November 6th, you have the power to influence the course of politics. Follow the most comprehensive local political news online, chicagotribune.com/midterms.
Ben Bradley joins us right now. He's in the WGN-TV newsroom, and that's really the most important thing that we can say about him right at this moment. Ben, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Ben.
Good to be with you guys.
Now, I know that we were just talking about Sears. Do we know in terms of impact in Chicago, obviously you have a number of employees, Sears employees, corporate employees who are here.
Up in Hoffman Estates, yep.
And the Sears Center, which is in Hoffman Estates, mm-hmm. which is a stadium that is up there, they're going to maintain their naming rights regardless of the outcome here, right? Is that what we're told?
Yeah, it's going to be kind of like the U.S. Cellular Field of the Northwest suburbs, right? Remember, U.S. Cellular kept the naming rights at Sox Park for a couple of years, mm-hmm. long after they had exited the Chicago market. You know, Sears closed its last store in the city of Chicago in July, I believe. And I was just reading up on some of the company's history. It's really, really an amazing American story when you think about it.
Totally.
You know, they were Walmart before Walmart. They were Amazon before Amazon. You know, from that catalog, that was how millions of Americans for generations ordered everything to their homes, you know, and for families who lived in rural areas who, you know, it would have to drive a couple of hours to get access to order something from the Sears catalog, you know, was revolutionary at the time and have it arrive at their doorstep. I never knew this. It was formed in 1886 by actually a railroad station agent named Richard Sears. Did move to Chicago. Moved to Chicago the next year in 1887, and that's when he hired a watchmaker by the name of
Jimmy Roebuck.
Yes, not Jimmy.
Jimmy Roebuck. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Jimmy was his cousin.
Johnny.
Yes. Easy to get those confused.
Johnny, Mikey. There's Mikey. Johnny, Mikey.
Did you shop
and Elvo.
There, Ben? Was it? Did you go?
Oh, yeah.
Growing up,
walking,
I know I did.
Yeah, walking around, you know, a Sears store. It was, you know, they had everything. That's what I meant by, you know, they were Walmart before Walmart existed. You know, it's interesting talking about, you know, their footprint. You know, when they bought up Kmart a couple of years ago, you know, in kind of a last-ditch effort to save that level of American retailing, the company had 317,000 U.S. employees back in 2006, yeah, right after that merger with Kmart, and they're down to 89,000 employees as of just a couple of months ago. Interestingly, out in Oak Brook, they had just reopened a Sears store that had been closed for renovations. We're told that store is going to remain open for the time being.
Right. They're going to try to work through bankruptcy. Right. We don't really know the outcome here. All we know is that it's a story today because of this change. All right, Ben, we'll see you on the 4, the 5, the 6, the 9, the 10, and the 12.
See you then.
Is that right? Thank
yep.
you very much, Ben. Appreciate it. We've got Judy in the newsroom at 2. Coming up at the 4 o'clock hour, a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Blackhawks against the Coyotes. Or do you say Coyotes? Thursday, October 18th. That's the Arizona team.
Could be the return of Corey Crawford.
That also nice. Could be the first game that doesn't go to overtime.
That's right. It feels like that.
So that is courtesy of our friends at Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com. Listen for your chance to win tickets all season long.
Go Hawks.
So it's coming up this Thursday. It's very fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is. It's pretty wild that they have yet to have played in a game this season that didn't go to overtime.
First time ever that's happened.
Yes. In the history.
Every single game?
Every single game.
Get out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Huh. Hot start for the Hawks, though. They've been fun to watch.
Yep, they have been. They have a comeback. They got a comeback button, which is kind of fun. They just press a comeback button, and the next thing you know, they score a goal.
Then we're in overtime.
Yeah, then we're in overtime. I don't know what happens in overtime. They lost the comeback button. You can't get a comeback button in overtime. Sudden death.
Doesn't always apply.
Yeah, I understand the point. All right, Brett Baer for the Fox News Channel is joining us right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. Hello, Brett.
Hey, good afternoon.
All right, let's talk about, first of all, now the Wall Street Journal is reporting that the Saudi government is mulling over releasing a statement that says that it was rogue individuals, maybe people working for the Saudi government, who had killed Khashoggi at the embassy in Turkey.
This is the story they're going to put out. We're being told, and we'll see what actually comes out, is that essentially it was an interrogation gone wrong. And when they say rogue individuals, that it was really... Like, this is better. You know, we went to the consulate to really torture him to get information, and he ended up dying.
Yeah.
Which is essentially what they're going to end up saying. But that the Saudis are going to own the killing of this columnist. You know, it's bad. This is not a good thing, and it'll be fascinating to see how the president deals with it. He's got Secretary of State Pompeo on his way over to Riyadh. And if that's the statement that the Saudis are putting out, I mean, it doesn't really prevent them from feeling any repercussions.
Are you surprised that the president actually floated this early, using the exact same verbiage that we're now hearing? We're now reading, at least in the Wall Street Journal and a couple of other places reporting this, that use that verbiage, rogue individuals?
To give him the benefit of the doubt, he's on his way to the helicopter, and they're asking him about the conversation he had just had with the king. And he is, in his Trump way, saying what the king told him.
Right.
And, you know, essentially used the words, I'm guessing, that the king and the kingdom is going to use, telling about that conversation. That said, there's a lot of critics up here in Washington who say, you know, there should be more indignation, there should be more, you know, standing for American values, and that this is unacceptable. The president, you know, doesn't operate like every other politician.
The president did promise, though, severe punishment, and you saw Senator Marco Rubio today say Congress will also respond swiftly and strongly if it is linked, in fact, to the Saudi government. It's appearing more and more that way. But you hear Saudi Arabia saying if any action received by us will be met with even stronger reactions. So you've got a real showdown happening here in terms of who's going to blink, what happens next.
You do. And this is, you know, geopolitical three-dimensional chess. You move one piece and three other pieces move. Because, you know, in the big picture, in the new kind of dynamic in the Middle East, this administration would rather link with the Gulf states as opposed to Iran. They would like to pressure Iran to change its, you know, how it operates. If you lose Saudi in that equation, you know, it changes the whole dynamic. However, we also don't need Saudi as much as we used to. We are producing our own oil and natural gas. We have sold them a lot of military equipment that they can't just turn around and buy from Russia or China. All the stuff that they bought was from the U.S. So there's a lot of, you know, give and take that the U.S. has with Saudi that should be used as leverage, one would think.
Well, and when the president says in the interview with 60 Minutes last night, he said, well, you know, they could have bought that stuff from China. They could have bought that stuff from Russia. They couldn't have. They certainly
not really.
Have,
I mean, unless you're going to shift your whole systems. You know, we don't have MiGs.
Right, and it's the top of the line stuff. Now we have not sold them the top of the line. We keep that for ourselves, and we've sold that to some of our allies, but not to them yet. I mean, let's face it. This, first of all, you got a couple of different things happening here. The king is failing. The king himself is older. He's got health problems. He's said to be not necessarily always lucid. Right. And you've got the crown prince who's kind of running the joint here. And that's the guy who went out and rounded up all the other members of the royal family that he was mad about. And he imprisoned them. They kidnapped the Lebanese president for a short period of time before letting him go.
Oh, yeah. There was that, too.
Yeah, there was that. They're bad.
They had the Ritz-Carlton lockdown.
Right.
You know,
right.
They're bad actors in Syria. And even though we keep asking them not to be. And let's face it. You know, of the September 11th hijackers, the mastermind... 15 of the 19. And the mastermind were all Saudis.
That's right.
So, I mean, this is... They're kind of on a little bit of bad paper. And I get that this is a totally bipartisan thing, man, because we've had Democrats and Republican presidents since the 1950s kissing their keister, right, because of oil.
Well, here's where it turns, is that you have most of Washington on the take from the Saudis when it comes to lobbyists. Most of Washington is taking some kind of money from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And there are now a number of K Street lobbyists who are turning back that money, saying we don't want the deal. So that's when you know that things have changed, when money walks back to Riyadh.
Yeah. Hey, I want to play something from last night, and I want to get your immediate reaction, Brett Baer, to this.
What about General Mattis? Is he going to leave?
Well, I don't know. He hasn't told me that.
You
I have a very good relationship with him. It could be that he is. I think he's sort of a Democrat, if you want to know the truth. But General Mattis is a good guy. We get along very well. He may leave. I mean, at some point, everybody leaves. People leave.
Sort of a Democrat. That is basically the kiss of death, is it not?
I mean, you know, he called him Mad Dog for a long time. He's now like Moderate Dog or something.
And Left Dog.
Yeah, I don't think that's a great signal. I think the writing's on the wall. I don't think it's going to happen sooner rather than later. I think if you think of anybody that can replace Mattis as far as his knowledge and respect around the world, it's tough to think of somebody that can step into that role
or
like that.
Will.
And the president knows that.
Right, or they will do it in this circumstance. Cause
or in this environment,
All of the guys who know Mattis and respect him, who would be good at doing that job, and maybe not as good as Mattis, but good at doing the job, would probably would talk to him, and they might be reluctant. I mean, John Kelly, same sort of situation, right? I mean, we keep hearing stories about John Kelly telling everybody that he knows that this is the toughest job he's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, and that tells people he's doing it for the country.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a good group around him. Secretary Pompeo and Secretary Mattis, John Kelly, others, they are, you know, providing the information that the president needs to make decisions. But do I think that Secretary Mattis is on his way out? That sentence probably tipped me off more than others that I bet leaves after the midterms.
Yeah, I'd say so. All right, Elizabeth Warren. All right. Now, Brett, I would like to hear your take on this, because the president was even asked about
crazy.
This in a rain today.
First of all, why? If you're a Democratic operative, let's say, and you're looking at the midterms and you're saying, hey, we really have a shot. We even have a shot at the Senate, even though it seems like it's a little bit far off. But there's a real shot at capturing the House. Why would you then take this moment to do the DNA test and put yourself front and center so that Heidi Heitkamp in North Dakota is then answering questions about Elizabeth Warren? Or Joe Donnelly in Indiana is answering questions about Elizabeth Warren, who's not exactly the face of the Democratic Party that those folks want to put right. forward. So she puts forward this DNA test, which is 1/1024th Native American. And there's a genetic test that says that the average European American is 1/116th Native American, someplace, you know, the chip in the woodpile somewhere back in the day. Mm-hmm. It does not help, I don't think, the whole back and forth on this stuff.
And the issue is that you've got some folks on cable news and other places that are jumping up and down and saying, well, this proves it, and he's gonna have to pay the $1 million because, you know, over the summer in what, you know, was a typical kind of Trump bravado moment was, hey, I'll pay $1 million to anybody if she wants to prove that she's a Native American and you know, or a drop Indian, or other kinds of things that really make everybody uncomfortable when Grandpa starts doing that at the Thanksgiving table, let alone the President of the United States in front of 1,000 people. But the fact is, you got Elizabeth Warren, you know, dropping this out there,
playing right into his hand.
Right. It doesn't. This is the worst way to try to express this.
I mean, are you kidding me? On the next thing, do you think he's going to use 1/1024th? I mean, he could take his own DNA test and be more Native American than she is in percentage wise.
Right.
That's doubtful, but who knows? my point is it just as a political move seems like the Democratic Party is probably wincing at that. And today.
Yeah.
The Saudi stuff will probably take it off the news, but it was a few hours of cable news chatter.
Although I don't know that he helps himself in this moment where the narrative, at least in the last 3 weeks here before the election, the narrative really is Trump versus women. I don't think it helps him to go out and pick a fight, even if it's a fight that is sort of ongoing and that maybe she threw the last punch in. I don't know that it necessarily helps him.
True. And in those suburban districts, House districts, he's upside down with women, and that's where the House will kind of turn.
All right, Brett, get to work. What are you doing talking to us?
Don't
you
I don't know.
All right.
We love talking to Brett. Thank you, Brett, for your time.
See you guys.
Thanks, Brett. All right, there he goes. Brett Bear. Oh, we got the hang up. I love that. All right, let's get from Judy, who, by the way, every time Judy talks to me, it sounds like she's hanging up on me. I just don't get the actual sound of the hang up. Let's check from Judy. What's coming up at the top of the hour in the WGN newsroom?
An accused suburban bank robber foiled by the stolen money.
Tune in to the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow morning. Why, you ask? Adam Hoge checks in from Hallis Hall tomorrow at 9:10 with the latest on Matt Nagy's response to the Bears' disappointing loss to the Dolphins and what they're planning for TB12.
All right.
Senator Elizabeth Warren releasing the results of her DNA test. Do you plan to pay $1 million?
Who cares?
Mr. President, you said you paid $1 million to charity.
You better read it again.
Yeah, she did say that, but it won't matter because she didn't prove anything, as it turns out. The Elizabeth Warren thing is one of the most ridiculous. This whole thing is ridiculous. The fact that her whole story. Let's just go back to how this whole thing started. Elizabeth Warren, she's a senator, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the most important thing we need to know about her. And she is she's up for re-election this year. And she has been for years saying that she has Native American ancestry. And then when people are like, well, where is it?
Mm-hmm.
And she's, well, I think at one point in it, she used it politically, but I think she also asked for an accommodation at one point, based on it. You know, did she check the box of Aleutians? I don't know. I always want to say I'm an Aleutian, prove I'm not. But that's neither here nor there. That's about me. So the point is that, you know, she had been saying this, and Republicans started this years ago, the other Republicans before Trump, but Trump picked up on it that, hey, she's not really Native American, and she's trying to claim it for some sort of political high ground. But then the president has used it like a cudgel, and inappropriately too, like the time when he had the Wind Talkers. Remember that? The World War II heroes, at the White House. And he goes, I know about Indians. How about the Pocahontas? That whole thing. I mean, if you are familiar with the status and plight of Native Americans this very day in the United States, it's not a subject you really want to go in and joke about. It's very, very tough stuff. The reservation system in the United States is a mess. The suicide rate is 12x what it is in the general population of the United States, the overall population of the United States. It's incredibly dire circumstances for some folks, and it's something that does need our attention and deserves our respect, and it deserves our attention. And to make that for Elizabeth Warren to make it political, and to try to get advantage of it, and then for Trump to try to get advantage of it, is just ridiculous. And they both got to stop. It turns out she's not. She says it was a story in her family that she
She'd always heard from her grandparents or something that, you know, hey, this is part of our family history. And so she claimed it through that. And she says the DNA proves that, but it's a very small percentage, a very small amount that many European Americans, people whose ancestors came from Europe, could also claim about the same amount of American Indian blood.
It would have to be somewhere between 6 and 10 generations back.
Right.
Right. She takes you back. You know, of an average generation, let's call it 25 years.
But as you saw David Axelrod talk about today, the fact that she released this and made a big splash in the Boston Globe and is talking about this shows that she certainly seems to be throwing her hat in the ring for future political ambitions.
Okay. I don't know if that works. Coming up, the stories that matter with Judy Pilak from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on 720 WGN Chicago. Music can mean only one thing.
Yes,
Susie Sunshine.
Does.
That's the Susie Sunshine song. We play that, and then she calls us immediately. It's like the bat light. You know, it's like putting the big bat in the sky. It's the same sort of a deal. Mm-hmm. Because there's a couple things that we need to talk to her. She's our financial analyst, although it turns out that's not really an exclusive thing anymore. She's now a financial analyst all over the place because she is now brand new, the head of U.S. equities for Aviva Investors. Here in the United States.
Kind of a big deal.
Congratulations. Yes, that's a pretty big deal.
Thank you.
All right, let's talk about something here, though, that is starting to roil the markets. Not necessarily rock them yet, but everybody's talking about it because we were just discussing this with Brett Baer. I'm going to drop a few names here. Brett Baer from the Fox News Channel. He's a big deal. He joined us to talk about what's going on with the Saudi government, and there it appears they're about to take responsibility for accidentally killing this guy. But he made a point, which is a really important point, that U.S. businesses are starting to pull out of Saudi situations. And when I say, well, I'm making that as vague as possible because that can mean anything. You could have people who are just taking money as consultants for marketing, like, you know, in Washington, you got lobbyists and stuff like that. There are people walking away from Saudi money. But will there be big industry in the United States or even oil companies in the United States walking away from the Saudis?
Well, that's much harder to do. So big oil companies generally that's a land play. And so they're generally entrenched in place because they've got big pieces of land. Saudi owns the land where they get the oil. The big oil companies might be partnering with them, helping them to extract it, but they've already invested so much in that equipment and the extraction technique that it's unlikely you're going to see a lot of shifting on the oil playing field. However, on other business fronts, you could see some shifting away because those businesses haven't necessarily invested into the Saudi market yet. And so they still have wiggle room and they may decide they want to back away a little bit. We are seeing some major business leaders back off with the news of this accidental interrogation outcome, and the premise that that's happening with all the rhetoric going back and forth over the weekend. We did see some high profile executives say they didn't want to go to an upcoming conference in Saudi, and that does put some undercurrents in business situations, because obviously the new prince of Saudi is trying very much to get that country out in forward thinking in terms of business and getting them involved in more industries than just oil. And so this is going to be an ongoing dialogue. I think that there's a lot of money, obviously, and resources in Saudi, and that people, you know, businesses, that's an attractive market should that kingdom allow outsiders to enter.
Can we stop and explain one thing for a second here? This is the crown prince. This is a new crown prince, relatively. He's been in the job a couple of years. He is the son of the king, but he is also, but there are other crown, there are other princes, but the crown prince is basically the king in waiting, as we, at least it has historically been, right?
Yes. So this crown prince, it's actually very unusual that the crown prince is actually the son of the king. In this case, they are direct, you know, he's the direct son of the sitting king, and he is the one who controls the doorway to the king. If you want to get access to the king, you go through the crown prince. The crown prince, who's in his early 30s, is seen as being the one who is really pushing the agenda for the government, what they want to do, and he's being very progressive and very innovative in some things. This is also the guy who wanted to really crack down on corruption, and so you remember the story where a lot of his royal cousins were locked up in the Ritz because they were, you know, engaging in bribery and payoffs and illegal activities. So then he was trying to really put things back on the up and up. Now, the Saudis are used to running things their way, so it's not exactly a democracy, and business there is run a little bit differently than certainly business here in the U.S., and that's causing some tension when you have stories like the missing journalist.
When you hear members of Congress like Marco Rubio and the president promising swift and severe punishment against Saudi Arabia if they can connect the dots to this killing of Khashoggi, Saudi Arabia is saying that it has this vital role in the global economy and that watch out, U.S., if you want to take aim at us, because you will suffer a more severe punishment. Obviously, this is, you know, diplomacy, a huge issue for diplomacy, but economically, is that threat real?
Well, economically, there is a threat there, but it's not as oriented towards oil as it would have been in decades past. Our oil production and production abilities are expanding greatly. And so while the Saudis are trying to dampen production to keep oil prices up, the U.S. is actually producing more and more. So because we've had great success in extracting oil from the shale reserves, we talk about these new basins that are now accessible to us because of new technology, the U.S. has the potential to be energy self-sufficient. And that's fabulous. It gives the Saudis a lot less power over us in that respect. But remember that the Saudis are an incredible partner for most of our defense firms because they sell the U.S. defense equipment to the Saudi government. And so it's not so much the oil industry that's going to suffer. That will be impacted. But the Saudis buy a lot of heavy equipment from us, particularly defense items. And so when you think about that, those fighter jets and the
missiles,
different, you know,
all the stuff that goes into the, not only fighter jets, but also the stuff that hangs from the wings of the fighter jets
Surveillance. There's a lot of stuff and that of that nature that goes over there. And so that's where you're going to see a little bit more of the business impact, I think, Anna, because I think oil, and the Saudis know this, that was part of the reason that they started trying to control the price of oil a little bit more. They were worried that the U.S. was growing farther and farther apart and becoming more independent.
Right. Great article in the Wall Street Journal, too, about how they're a big backer of probably a lot of the startups we love, including Uber and WeWork and Slack and a bunch of others. They put hundreds of millions of dollars into them.
Right. And that's right. They're a bank is essentially what they are. and they're one of the world's largest banks, and they're capable of having their tentacles in a lot of places. And in real estate, they're gigantic players, which is brings it back to the Trump family, because apparently they have also backed the 666 Madison, is that what it is in New York, that the Kushner family owned and had a little bit of trouble with, and they were able to, you know, their investment arm, their real estate investment arm, has been able to go in there and bail them out. And that's one of these things that when you do have, for the first time in American history, you have an active business concern in the White House, that becomes its, you know, the people start to go, well, you know, what are you doing the people's business of the United States? Does the United States really want to be in business with the Saudis? Are you keeping it because they're in business with you?
Right. And I think that's very relevant, because also remember that the Saudis control, because they support and protect a lot of their neighbors, they control that region for the large part. They influence it. They influence where a lot of the spend goes. And when you think of Saudi as a country, you really want to think of it as an investment entity, because they are incredibly rich because of all the natural resources that they have. And so over time, they've thrown off so much cash from that. They have these incredibly large investment funds that do come and look for places to invest, and they're going to be involved in Silicon Valley and tech startups and healthcare startups and real estate, because they're trying to put that cash to work.
Well, they're rich in the same way that the United States was rich in the middle part of the 19th century, in the 1800s, when the United States was starting to export its goods. It was starting to, because it was, there were a lot of things, textiles and things, were made out of slave labor. That's essentially what they're doing in Saudi, in the kingdom. And they even turned, but they had the audacity to turn, and the crown prince was behind this, they had the audacity to turn on Qatar, because they didn't like the way Qatar was playing both sides against the middle with Iran. And this is important, because Qatar has our largest water-based base in the Middle East, right? They've got a joint base in Qatar, in Doha, that is gigantic and incredibly important for for the United States' presence in the region. And we had a deal with Qatar. We've been getting along well with them. As a matter of fact, the Qatari Emirates are incredibly friendly to the United States, and they're friendly to Western concept. They opened up this in Doha, this university city in Doha that has a branch of Northwestern in it.
Hugely impressive.
Right.
Go Cats.
It's the Dill School of Journalism, I think.
Right. It's a communication school. And then the whether it's, you know, there's
the best
Harvard
universities
and
in the world,
and
MIT,
Harvard, all there, mm-hmm. and they're trying to train people. They're bringing people in from all over the Middle East and South Asia in to train them, to try to make them, you know, sort of 21st century compliant. So that ticked off the Saudis, amongst other things. It wasn't just that, but they made them mad, and then they turned on them without calling us first. So this idea that, you know, check with us first is over under this new crown prince, especially now they took a guy out of the United States, not a U.S. citizen, I grant you that, but a guy working for the Washington Post. They lured him out of the United States to kill him. And now they're going to say, well, it was, you know, some rogue interrogators. We might have, you know, you got to crack a few eggs if you're really going to get to the bottom of this sort of thing. And they're about to acknowledge, according to multiple reports, including the Wall Street Journal, they're about to acknowledge this. And they called the president earlier today to tell him, yeah, this is probably what we're going to say. And I'm uncomfortable with the whole thing. And not only that, but the United States military, the goods that the United States military has, we have some of the finest, obviously the United States, I think, has the best stuff on the planet in terms of, you know, war fighting machinery and technology. And we have exported some of that to, U.S. companies have exported some of that to the Saudis, even our highest, some of the highest brand and highest capable air-to-surface technology, and they are using it in their war in Yemen, including to blow up school buses, which they are targeting. And I think that that gives everybody in Washington pause. That should give everybody in America pause. This is not exactly we're not dealing with soft, fluffy guys, you know, wearing bed sheets anymore. These are tough guys. I got to run here, but I just wanted to, I'm sorry, I went off on a tangent.
It's a very different regime. They're handling everything different. The economics and the business relations are going to be different. And I think, you know, that's what you have to expect going forward.
All right. So we'll have to see how this impacts the markets, but that's still yet to come. Susan, thank you very much. Susie Sunshine.
Thanks, Susan.
There she is. Susan Always good Schmidt to be from Head of U.S. Equities at Aviva Investors. Let's check in with Judy, find out what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Being a proactive Sears shopper. Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mater, and Joe Donlin weeknights on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock.
All right, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Coming up, I need you to strap in. Hold on to your valuables. If you're listening at home, you might want to take all the glass off the shelves because OB is going to be here. Ed Obradovich is going to be discussing the Chicago Bears' performance in Miami at Hard Rock last night or yesterday afternoon. And just prepare yourself, people. Plus, we got Blackhawks tickets to give away right after this.
Osweiler was one of five, folks. Again, I'll say it again. Five starters out for the Dolphins. And we had 2 weeks. We're flying high with the greatest defense in the history of football to get ready for this team. Miami Dolphins, five starters out, and we just lost the football game. Good coaching job, Nagy. Great job, Pace.
Oh, boy. Disappointing
stand
game.
Stand by. Coming up in just a few minutes. Tell me when I can do this, but coming up in just a few minutes. I have to wait a few minutes, actually, as I've just been told. You'll be able to win a pair of tickets to see the Hawks take on the Yotes on Thursday. That's the Arizona Coyotes, in case you're interested. They're not interested, so I don't know why you should be interested in them. Their own fans don't seem to care about them. It's all brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com. Listen for your chance to win tickets all regular season long.
I think I'm going to go to that game. It could potentially be the return of Corey Crawford. I don't want to miss that.
Oh, yeah. That'll be great.
Oh, maybe, you know what? Let me think about that for Thursday. I think I got to check. My schedule in the fall is like
very busy.
It's weird. It's like after I left, I had a thing to do Saturday night after I went to Northwestern.
Go Cats.
How about that game?
What an amazing game that was.
Incredible.
And then
an overtime win, by the way.
And I had my first Saturday night off where I actually canceled something. I was not locked into it. I was like, I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to watch the Hawks game on TV. Yeah. Put my feet up, and I watched football and the Hawks and everything. And I was like, and I fell asleep at 9. All right, now.
Oh, gosh.
OB, Ed Obradovich joins us. And OB, oh, boy, OB.
Yeah.
I got to say that now I listened to your show right after the game, because it is an absolute necessity of Bears fans, especially after a moment like that, because you are, I swear to God, I had chest pain. The Bears almost killed me yesterday in that game. That shouldn't have been like that, should it have been?
No, it's certainly to lose that football game. You know, I'm tried after the game and after the show and last night and all day today, and I talked to Hamp, and I'm trying to think about, you know, what is it? Day after, what could I say what it is? And it's the same thing that I said last night that I could say now. This coaching staff did not have that team after 2 weeks of preparation to go down to Miami and play a team that is without five starters. Their backup quarterback and their number one offensive lineman was out defensively for the Dolphins. Their best pass rusher was out, but a total of five. And we had 2 weeks to go down there to prepare for the Miami Dolphins. That was a given. And what was really funny, if you listen to Rowan Anna, like on all these shows, all these TV shows and all that, all the football pundits, they always have like, well, they pick who's going to win, who's going to lose in the NFL.
It was a lock.
You know who was the lock across this country?
The lock.
Everybody had the Bears.
Which,
the lock.
And the excitement they were coming off of. I mean, it just, they had us, and it just was always painful to watch it
they
go down.
They aren't who we thought they were.
Now, that's not true, is it? Is that possible that this was just a bad game?
Well, sure it was a bad game. It was poorly coached. They were poorly prepared to go down and play this team. You know, and I keep telling you people and your listeners, you know, you prepare to get ready, and you better have a team ready to go from the get-go. You got 16 games. There is no tomorrow in the NFL. You got to win now.
Right.
OB, that's what had me fired up, because you hear after the game people talking about humidity and the heat and all this. I go, well,
I don't wanna hear
right,
about it.
Neither do I. And I go, well, look, they looked exhausted from snap number one. You're telling me they were exhausted from pregame workouts? I mean, it was inexcusable the way they started that game. The first half was maybe their worst half of football all season long. I want to ask you, OB, what do you make of the sloppiness from the defense, especially in the second half? Missed tackles all game from this defense. For you, when you see missed tackles, what do you make of that?
What I saw and what I know is they're not in shape. Let's go back to the Green Bay game, okay? How many points they had that game? That game was a lock. In the second half, remember our down linemen, some of them in the fourth quarter couldn't even get their hand down in a 3-point stance. We gave up 24 points, Kevin, to the Green Bay Packers in the second half. Guess what we gave up? We played the Dolphins yesterday. Guess how many points we gave up in the second half? 24. And, Kevin, if you watch that game and your listeners, if you watch the Bears play their defensive line play, watch the interior defensive linemen. They struggled even to get down if they did in a 3-point stance. You watch Eddie Jackson, our safety, our strong side safety. Did you see him? He faked them real bad. Did you see the slow motion he was in, and he didn't even make an effort to go get him?
Okay, but all right. But wait. Let me just hold on 1 second, though. But yes, all of that is true. But you know, they were this in overtime. They stopped him on the 1 yard line. And I all of a sudden I had that moment like, this is our year, this is our moment, this is it. Mm-hmm. This is just proof that, you know, it was a tough, sloppy game. Khalil Mack, obviously, when he twisted his ankle, right, that was a more consequential injury than they were letting on. Maybe it is more consequential. We'll know more.
Bro, a lot of people play with injuries.
Yeah, I understand. But they stopped him, and then they come down. But then you get to the critical moment here. And Nagy got mad about it when he was being asked about it yesterday in the postgame press conference, which is, you know, why did you just try to, you know, run? Why didn't you throw?
You got conservative.
Yeah, why did you get conservative when you were going down the field and you had a chance to win this game with a field goal? And you got a guy, I mean, even though Cody Parkey is from Miami and he hit a 57-yarder there last year, right? Or 54-yarder, whatever the hell it was. You know, now he's at 52 yards and he misses it. I when he got up there, I just felt it. I just knew it. It felt like Bob Thomas in 1978. Sorry.
That's a way back files reference.
Sorry.
You know, OB, in the fourth quarter and overtime this season, the Bears have been outscored 60-30. What do you make? They haven't finished games. That's been the biggest problem, as you mentioned, week one.
Are you not listening to this program?
Kevin.
All right. They're out of shape then.
This guy is redesigning how you get prepared to go into a season, redesign the training camp, redesign the exhibition season, and he's trying to redesign this season, okay? He thinks that he must be the greatest offensive mind in the NFL. He does not have this team ready. This team is not in shape, and that is just a fact. When you saw that game yesterday, and if you're a Bear fan, that's exactly what the heck you saw. They were not ready to play, and when you have 2 weeks to go down there and dismantle a team that has lost 5 starters plus their starting quarterback, and you put up 54 yards of total offense in the first half, there are no excuses for anything. Nagy didn't have him ready. He had a poor game plan, and that's the bottom line.
right, hold on. Okay. I see, when you get angry, it makes me feel better.
It does.
All right, so Sunday. Did you watch the Sunday night game last night?
Yes, I did.
Did you see what Tom Brady did to... I mean, yeah, listen, Patrick Mahomes, this is the thing that I know, and we're both going to have a stroke here, OB, but
yeah.
But Patrick Mahomes is the guy that you wanted the Bears to draft.
Oh,
you
my
said
God. That you could ask anybody. That was the guy. He was there.
We have it on tape.
A quarterback.
We have it on
tape. I'll be diddly damned. What does he do? He gives up the draft to move up one, and who the hell does he draft? Trubisky. My Lord.
The third.
Mahomes had a couple bad picks yesterday, that's for sure.
The Thursday. Well, hold on
a second.
What
happen?
Yeah, but the Thursday. The Thursday of the draft in April of 2017, one Ed Obradovich was on this very radio program and saying Mahomes is the guy they got to get. And then 3 hours later, they trade to go up one. They give away two seasons worth of picks to move up one position in the draft to go get Mitchell Trubisky, who, listen, he had a good second half yesterday, although... there were a couple of really dumb throws. Mahomes, though, is the real deal. There is no question about it.
Based off of what, five games?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll rush to judgment on Mahomes and Trubisky.
Yeah, all right, fine, whatever. But
I believe in Trubisky, too.
So do I.
But the point is, what I saw happen last night in Foxborough, Massachusetts, made me want to leave the country on Sunday for when they get here to Soldier Field. So
that's going
to
be a rough game.
This is kind of a must-win situation. If they are to be taken, if the Bears are to be taken seriously for the rest of the season, the only way they're going to do it is by beating the Patriots on Sunday.
I like that. I like what you just said. And, you know, can the Bears win this game? Yes, they can. And, boy, what a great victory that would be, certainly for the coach, certainly for the players, and certainly for Trubisky. It'd be a fabulous one, one of the best wins probably in Bear history if we could pull it off. But I'm going to tell you what, Nagy's got to stop playing that scared-to-death football. You got to let these kids have it. You got to let them go. You got to give them the reins. Give Trubisky the reins. Stop this. I can keep him under control, and he won't know that I'm keeping him under control. You fool. Let the kid play football. You got a game plan. He understands it. By the time Sunday comes around, let these kids go out there and play football and leave them alone.
All right.
I'm going to guess that game won't be a lock. On the Bears, at least.
You're right. Might be a lock going the other way.
Listen, Anna.
Yeah.
You see these kids. I mean, we've got some good offensive linemen.
Oh, yeah.
We've got some good running backs. We've got some receivers finally. For God's mm-hmm. sakes, play the game the way it's supposed to be played. There's a pass in the NFL called a post pattern, which is a deep post. In other words, the wide out receiver runs down, I don't know, 25, 30 yards, and then he breaks for the goal post, okay? There are people. Jerry Rice is in the Hall of Fame. Jordy Nelson up from Green, they used to be with Green Bay. That's what he made a living on. And you see it, everybody. Do you know that not one time this season under Nagy have we even tried it? Not a post pattern. Not one time a deep post. And this is what you got to do. Let Trubisky have the reins. Let him go. Let these kids play football and stop playing scared to death football. Try to out coach the other coach. Try to coach your team into winning, and that's what the game's all about. And I tell you what, I talked to Hampton about this, and we want them to win. They have to win this Sunday. Honest to God, it seems like all the odds in the world are against them because you've got the great Tom Brady, you got Bill Belichick, the great coach, you know, and they're on a roll. They've got four wins. They throw the ball all over the damn place and win from week to week.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, if we could put a stop to it and let these kids go, let them play football, and by the way, Fangio, you better start turning the defense loose. Let the linebackers go.
Yeah, well, it's going to be.
Blitz them.
Yeah, I agree with you there. All right, OB, I'm going to try to calm myself down now. Thank you very much. And I'm going to. I don't know what I'm going to even do tonight. Now I don't know how I feel about the Packers, the whole thing, because they could just start getting rolled over in the NFC North, which I did not anticipate.
Bears are in first place.
All right. Yeah, for the minute. All right, OB. Thank you. We'll talk to you.
Thanks,
next week.
OB.
Thank you, sir.
Hey guys, have a good night. Thank you.
Bye.
All right.
Yeah, it's got me as crazy as he's got me as crazy as he is right now. That's what's going on. If they do win, if they do beat,
oh, it'd be huge.
New England, it would be the. He's right. It would change the outcome of this season, and this would be the trajectory maker. This is it's all on the line on Sunday.
I just stuck my head in an ice bath
right now to make myself to cool myself off. Right now, caller number 19 at 312-981-7200 wins a pair of tickets to see the Hawks against the Coyotes on Thursday, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. Listen for your chance to win tickets all regular season long. 312-981-7200. Good luck, Judy. Good luck.
Chance the mayor?
Oh, hell no.
It could happen. Anything can happen.
Yes, that's, I learned that in 2016. Violetta?
So what's going on with the talk about climate change and our planet? Science with Sophie on the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow morning, 7:40. Try to make sense of it all.
Science with Sophie. That'll do it. All right. Okay. All right. Now listen, I got a lot to tell you here. And I'm just a little out of my mind. OB got me a little out of my mind.
I know. A little wound up.
I got a top five at five coming your way. AB Stoddard's going to join us at 5:40. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about important things there. And then I'm going to announce that I am the starting quarterback for the Bears on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. I thought you'd take over for Khalil Mack if he has to
sit
out.
Yeah, we could use some edge rushers, bro.
All right, I'll do that then.
All right, thanks.
If I'm going to volunteer my services, I just, you know, wherever you need me, coach.
Team player.
Just don't touch you or using hand sanitizer.
I did really enjoy, though, watching Kevin Powell's body language during the conversation with Ed O'Brien.
I know.
Because I thought they were going to go after each other for a moment.
Well, because you're still on board with Trubisky being strong and probably Nagy as well, is what you're saying?
You know, this town just has commitment issues with the quarterback position. It's like somebody who won't commit because they got burned by an ex-girlfriend or boyfriend. Nobody wants to commit to a quarterback in this town because they're worried the quarterback's going to end up sucking. So everyone just has already made up their mind that Trubisky's not going to be good and they don't want to get burned and
wrong. No, I don't think that's right.
I'm not saying that with OB. I'm just saying there are a lot of people in Chicago.
It's not that Trubisky is going to be bad. He's not going to be bad. He is just not going to be a number two. He's not the kind of what the Bears invested in is not going to be what they're going to get. I think a Patrick Mahomes.
Him, but you won't marry him.
Right. He's not marriage material. He is.
Long are you going to stay with him?
Patrick Mahomes is marriage material. I think he's going to be the Bears starter for the next 5 years. I think there's no question about it. But I just don't think he's going to give you that. I think he's. Unfortunately, I hate to say it. I think he's more. Well, he's. I don't think the marriage is going to last. That's all I'm trying to say. Yeah, it's a Rokan show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Sad news from the tech world. Paul Allen, Microsoft co-founder, died at the age of 65. Just announced from his family a statement about he was battling non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So
Paul Allen, who a big sports owner, right?
Yeah, the Seahawks. Chairman.
Yeah. Didn't he also have does he own a piece of the Sonics, too?
I believe he owns a piece of the soccer, the Blazers, Portland Trailblazers. Yeah.
Okay.
So the Seahawks and the Blazers. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Wow.
And the Seattle Sounders, which is the soccer team up there.
That is, that is sad. I mean,
65.
You think about that. Paul Allen, of course, not no longer involved in the company after, co-founding it and got out. But I always wondered, had he stayed, would my computer run faster? Things I always
really?
Wondered. Yeah.
As you're cursing at your computer?
Yeah.
If only Paul Allen.
Right,
stuck around a little
one
longer.
Of the things that, now, is Paul, I'm going to enter into territory I shouldn't enter into because I'm just undisciplined. But, that's the way
why not?
It is. Yeah. But wait, who was the guy that was dating Kathy Griffin?
Was there a tech?
Yeah. Wasn't she? Steve, that was the other guy. That was the guy from Apple who was the other guy, right? There's always another guy that was the college roommate, the guy who worked in the garage with the other guy who went off to not be the guy.
The guy who bailed at the worst.
Steve Wozniak. Steve Wozniak.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
So there was really big brains behind the entire organization,
right? Behind Apple, because they both had, you know, you got Gates and Jobs, right, that are the face of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But they had another guy with them.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the Roebuck to Sears, you know. It was like that kind of a thing, you know. And you know, like, hey, what happened to that guy? Oh, that's what happened to that guy.
Right, genius computer engineer, but he cashed out with, you know, several billions.
Yeah,
he was all right.
They all did okay. Obviously, Paul Allen did very well.
He did.
I think Paul Allen still may have been on the board or something like that. He had a lot of stock.
Yeah, co-founded Microsoft with Gates in 1975, 46th richest person in the world at the time of his death today.
Yeah, wow. That's sad. Yeah, 65, and with all the money in the world, right? It's way too young.
You think about Jobs and him. That's a young age.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Let's do this now.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Number five.
The president, touring hurricane-ravaged areas of the South today, asked again about his reaction to Elizabeth Warren's test. She had a
DNA test, right?
Genetics. We don't want to. Did she go to 23andMe or whatever that deal
she
is?
She didn't. No, she had some specific people do it. One was at Stanford University, PhD.
Mm-hmm. Now, remember, he called her Pocahontas because he thinks that she's falsely claiming that she has Native American, or as he likes to call it, Indian blood, which is it's almost like a John Wayne movie when he starts talking. It's like one of those John Wayne movies where it turns out that one of the guys in the cavalry was actually, you know, running away with an Indian. Right, he fell in love with an Indian. Well, what are we going to do? Oh my God! It is when you stop and you think this offends me at the core. I have no idea if I have any Native American blood in my system. I have no idea. But I do know this. I'm an American, and I care about those people based on their experience here for the last 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's been particularly not... I mean, it was particularly bad in the middle part of the 19th century, part of the 19th century, when, you know, they were literally being moved out of their lands, and we were at war with them, and there was a lot of bad things that happened. But the circumstance on the reservations in America is a national disgrace that is not really talked about and should be addressed. Not going to happen here. I get it, right? I mean, you know, he sort of likes to revel in national disgrace. But at this particular moment, does he really have to go down this road? It just seems to me, when you stop and you think about it, and the way Native Americans, I always have that image in my head of those two old World War II hero wind talkers who were standing behind him, and when he started going off about Pocahontas, you know, at an event in which they were being honored, and their service, a Native American service, was being honored, Navajo specifically, being honored for their service in World War II. And those two old guys looked at each other like, what the is this guy doing?
Mm-hmm.
Right, and I'll never forget that moment. It's just, it's just more of the lack of decorum and lack of respect that we all have when it comes to this issue. And I throw kind of Elizabeth Warren into it too, because she's trying to benefit politically out of something that it turns out she claims that she is of Native American heritage,
right.
And she has 1/1024th.
Possibly. It's a huge range. It's like 1/500th to 1/1000th, or potentially a little bit more than that. But it's inconclusive, the DNA analysis, ultimately.
She found a guy to go conclusive, though. You can always find a guy.
It just shows you how seriously she takes these attacks from him, and that potentially what her political ambitions going forward must be if she's wanting to put this out there.
So here's the president again.
her DNA results that show a strong likelihood that she does have Native American roots.
How much? One thousand?
Do you owe her an apology?
I owe her. She owes the country an apology. What's the percentage? One thousand?
I don't have the exact numbers.
Okay, tell me, when you have the percentage, tell me what the percentage
is. What about the money that you told her you would...
You mean if she gets the nomination in a debate where I was going to have her tested? I'll only do it if I can test her personally. Okay, that will not be something I enjoy doing either.
Ew.
Mm.
See, I happen to agree the 1-1000 thing hurts her politically. You know, if she were 16th or 32nd, 64th, 128th, yeah, I don't want to go any further because I start to lose myself there. But I mean, if there any of those things, I would, you know, you could make an argument where that, you know, that you go, oh, okay, well, that's what she was talking about. But in this case, I think it's a massive loss for her. Then all these Democrats are going to have to react to, you know, what do you think about Elizabeth Warren?
Right.
But then he's going to test her. Why is he so, he's caught on it too. But it doesn't hurt him. It hurts her more than it hurts him. Because his followers, the supporters, they're like, oh yeah, just they want him to be mean and they don't care how politics it is. But that idea of let me test her, isn't that weird? I mean, does it seem, especially in this moment, is that really what you want to say?
Yeah, doesn't sound right.
All right. It's weird, man. And I think she's got to be careful here. She put out a YouTube video in which, you know, they sort of... It looks like a 23andMe commercial is what it looks like, the YouTube video they put out. And it's kind of glossy. It says, hey, you know, this is what I have. But it's really, it's not particularly, I don't think, consequential. And I'm going to tell you, and the Cherokee Nation came out today.
They didn't love it.
Yeah, the Cherokee Nation was like, this wouldn't count for us.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, there's a lack of Native American DNA available for them to test, they say, in these groups that they use to match it. So they use other populations or similar populations, Colombia and Peru and parts of Mexico. And so they just say it is an inconclusive sort of study, but, you know, and the ultimate amount that she is percentage-wise is similar to a lot of people who have European ancestry.
All right, checking in at
number four.
In an interview that aired last night in 60 Minutes, the president snapped at Leslie Stahl.
Oh, boy. She snapped back.
Yeah, there was snappage.
He presides over a cruel kingdom of repression, gulags, starvation, reports that he had his half-brother assassinated, slave labor, public executions. This is a guy you love.
I know all these things. I mean, I'm not a baby. I know all these things.
Why do you love that guy?
Look. I get along with him, okay?
But you said love him.
Okay, that's just like a figure of speech.
No, it's like an embrace. Well,
let it be an embrace. Let it be whatever it is to get the job done.
He's a bad guy.
Look, let it be whatever it is.
Oh, wait. Is this the president you're not? Wait, is the next one? I'm sorry. I'm doing a little, because I want... Let's go in order.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just produce the show on the air. Don't worry about it. We're going back to... This is now where he was very mad because he thinks Leslie Stahl is treating him differently than they treated 60 Minutes or Leslie Stahl treated Barack Obama.
Leslie, it's okay. In the meantime... Right. The other thing I've really learned is I never knew how dishonest the media was. I really mean it. I'm not saying that as a soundbite. I never knew how dishonest...
I'm going to change the subject again.
Well, no, but even the way you asked me a question, like about separation.
Yeah.
When I say Obama did it, you don't want to talk about it.
No.
When I say I did it, let's make a big deal. I'm going to run
your answer, but you did it four times.
I'm just telling you that you treated me much differently on the subject.
I disagree, but I don't want to have that fight with you.
Hey, it's
okay.
Or
have another fight with you.
Leslie,
okay.
It's okay. In the meantime, right. I'm president, and you're not.
Whoa. That one surprised me.
No.
It's hard to be surprised in an interview with the president these days, but that line did.
I'm president, and you're not. Scoreboard. I'm the president, and you're not.
Mm-hmm. We all went back to first grade at that moment.
Yes. Okay. I am the boss of you.
Right.
You are not the boss of me.
You can't tell me what to do.
I am the president, and you are not.
Mm-hmm. Na-na-na-na-na.
Okay. All right. We'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, let's check in with Judy, who is presiding right now. What's going on there in the newsroom?
One of the people who wants to be mayor of Chicago wants to stop supporting the Gary Chicago International Airport.
Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mater, and Joe Donlin weeknights on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock.
All right, top five continues. We've worked our way up to, but not including,
number three.
All right, did you hear this? See this on the interwebs?
Mm-hmm.
This woman in St. Louis did not let a guy in. A guy was trying to get into her building, who also lived in her building, but she didn't want to let him into the building because he was African American.
I don't like the fact you have your phone in my face.
Okay, I don't like the fact that you're blocking me for where I pay.
All I'm asking is what unit.
But you're not. I don't need to tell you that information, ma'am.
If you want to come into my building,
it's not your building. You're not the owner. You pay rent.
Sir, you walked up on a street.
Yes, and I've already buzzed in.
You did not.
Okay, man, it does not even matter. Can you get out of my way?
No. Can you show me the key for coming into this building?
I'm not showing you anything. And the second, ma'am, I'm bound to walk through where I live at. So.
No.
Okay.
He did live in the building.
Right. Wait, there's more.
Just follow me all the way to my door.
As a plane.
And you see my keys in the door.
As a record, I just want to say hi.
Have a good night, ma'am. Don't ever do that again. You look pretty stupid on video. Have a nice night. My name is Mr. Tolles. Thank you.
Woo.
She lost her job.
She did.
Yes. She is a minority-owned business. The people who owned the business saw that and didn't like it, and they fired her for that. It's
she worked at Starbucks? Is she the one that called the police on the two guys?
Oh, yeah, right. The guys.
I thought he handled that perfectly, though.
Mm-hmm. Very calmly.
Hello, this is a Starbucks. There's a black man in the store. He's trying to get into the bathroom. I've ordered all the employees to go into the cold case right now and hide until you get here. Where are you?
It's not quite like that. It was, you know, it's an interesting problem because she's just asking him to identify, and he clearly now sees
what's going on,
pulls out his video, you know, starts videotaping, doesn't want to cooperate with the hate. Don't worry about it. He didn't want to give her any kind of rhythm on it either. She clearly is like, hey, I'm upset here because I'm white, you're black, you're coming into the building, and I'm afraid of you, right? That's what's happening here, and he didn't want to give in to that stereotype.
That's right.
And
she said that he put her code in the keypad, and she wanted him to do the same too. But he's like, it's my building, I can walk in the door.
All right. Would not have happened any other way. But here we are. That is 2018 in America.
Number two.
Foo Fighters in Missouri. And they brought a 10-year-old on stage.
What?
To play Enter Sandman.
Do you play guitar, Collier?
Yes.
What songs do you know?
Oh, I know a lot of Metallica songs.
Yeah! Hit him with it, Collier.
Oh my god, that's fun.
It's got to make his world. That is so cool. Very talented kid, too.
Yeah. Ah, the Foo Fighters are so good, though. Mm. Just, I mean,
good to their fans.
They can make a 10-year-old sound really good.
I think he was good.
Well, I know. But I mean, you know what? They helped. All right. And finally,
number one.
You knew Saturday Night Live had to make fun of Saturday Night Live. They had to make fun of Kanye. Their guy, Yeezy. Yay, yay. Yay, yay, cray, cray.
Oh, this guy can talk. He doesn't stop. He doesn't listen to anyone but himself. Who does he remind me of?
And I don't want to brag, bro. I don't want to brag, but I really have a high IQ. I'm a stable genius. I got a big brain, and I got the best words.
Oh, my God, he's black me.
Yeah, Chris Redd was great playing Kanye. Chicago's very own Chris Redd. Of course, Kanye is Chicago's very own, too. I don't know who to root for in this fight anymore. I really don't. It's crazy. I mean, it's, you know, I'm always going to be Chicago first, and yet.
Kind of torn on this one.
I am. I'm totally torn. And I want to say, well, you know, Kanye wants to bring Adidas here, and I'm Adidas first too. So I would love that to be the case. But in the meantime, I'm like, he's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's wandering around underneath the owl taking a video of himself. And I'm like, in all other circumstances, I'd be like that lady in St. Louis calling the police.
Oh, geez. Stop.
All right. Judy Pilak has the WGN News. You know what? It's the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, by the way. I failed to mention that at the top of the hour. But coming up after 5:30, I should mention, A.B. Stoddard is going to be with us. She's the associate of Real Clear Politics, and she'll make it all okay. Judy has the news right now being brought to you by Fisher Nuts Oven Roasted. Oh, wait. I got 2 minutes. That's what I meant to tell you. Don't stay right here. In 2 minutes, it's Judy's news.
I watched you mimic her, and thousands of people were laughing at her.
They can do what they... I will tell you, the way now Justice Kavanaugh was treated has become a big factor in the midterms. Have you seen what's gone on with the polls?
But did you have to...
Well, I think she was treated with great respect. I'll be honest with you.
But do you think
there
you
are those
treated
that think she
with,
shouldn't have been.
Do you think you treated her with great respect?
I think so, yeah. I did.
But you seem to be saying that she lied.
You know what? I'm not going to get into it because we won. It doesn't matter.
Well,
we won.
This is like a time in the curious. 60 Minutes interview where it's a guy, I'm president and you're not, and we won. We won. Done with conversation.
And I think Mattis is a Democrat.
A.B. Stoddard is joining us. She's spent a little time on Capitol Hill writing about the comings and the goings and the different people who've been president and congressmen and senators and all the kinds of things that go on in Washington. I'm trying to put a happy face and a happy voice to this right
Good
now.
Luck.
But as I'm watching that last night, I started to laugh and I started to realize I think I've figured out the rhythm to this with the president. I think I can become a Trump whisperer now. I get it. He's in his own mind. It just doesn't matter. It is the ultimate in Machiavelli. It's the ultimate prince, right? At this point, it's the idea that, hey, however we got here, where the economy is going great. Kim Jong-un isn't threatening us with missiles anymore. And if we have to crack a few eggs, if the Saudis have to kill a few people on the way to making sure that we can still get a $110 billion arms deal with them, then that's just all going to be fine. That's kind of what I think that's his take. And I think he thinks that in real politics, that's okay. That you know, the people who he needs to appeal to are going to be okay with it. What say you?
I agree. I think that this is kind of how he operated all along, and he's just feeling really liberated to be more blunt about it. And he's kind of proud of it. I mean, he's made very clear that the Saudi situation is rests completely upon the importance of this transaction, which, by the way, the listener should know, and they can look into this. There's no contracts. There's no actual purchases pending. What started with Lockheed Martin a few months ago is at a standstill. And so we actually are not really even technically in receipt of $110 billion. But that aside, all of our uniqueness as a nation, our values, our moral standing in the world is all tossed out. At the altar of transactions, and so, and also relationships that are important to him. He and his son-in-law is very close with the crown prince. He's texting with him on WhatsApp behind the national security apparatus's backs, and the president has long history of business dealings with the Saudis, and they bailed him out at times when he was really in trouble in terms of sort of cash pinches and stuff. So he's pretty clear about it. He's going to take sanctions off the table, and he's going to take the arms, the weapons deal off the table, so that not only is there no punishment, there's no leverage at all. And he's sending Mike Pompeo as a symbolic act, so that he can tell people in Congress, I'm sending the Secretary of State. It is a huge mistake to send the Secretary of State and give a Secretary of State visit to the lying Saudi government, but that's what we're doing. And Trump really does not see a problem with this. It's really that the ends justify the means, that everything along the way is collateral damage. And what he said about Dr. Ford last night, it just couldn't have been, that's the sum of it all. It's basically, none of this matters. It's not the way you do things. It's not how you do things. It's not the relationships you have along the way. It's you get what you want, and while you're on the way there, you pretend that you have a great relationship, a great chemistry with someone, but it's just basically a zero sum. I'm going to get to my ends, and damn the means.
I win, you lose. Right.
Totally.
I win, you lose.
Yeah. The news this afternoon, AB, that the Saudis are preparing a statement to admit some wrongdoing, that they did mean to interrogate and abduct him, and I suppose torture him would be in that interrogation, but things went wrong and he died in the process.
And they just happened to have surgical equipment to dismantle his body with them at the time.
Mm-hmm. And a cleanup crew and 15 people and two private jets that delivered them. The whole thing just seems, it just gets more and more hard to believe as these new fact comes out. But what kind, when the president says there will be severe punishment or consequences, what do you imagine actually happens here?
I don't believe he's going to inflict severe punishment or consequence on them. I think he said that so that he can throw a bone to Senator Rubio, who's getting loud on the Sunday shows. Then he sends Secretary of State Pompeo. But it's what he does. He's on the one hand, he says this, and then on the other hand, he says that, all in the same interview. And basically, the truth is that he is invested in this relationship. He doesn't want to rock the boat. He doesn't want to punish them or use any leverage. And they are back against the wall, recanting strong, emphatic, you know, really aggressive denials. Statements out of their government yesterday were really harsh. They would push back and fight back any insinuation otherwise, and they sort of toned that down later on in the day. And now they're admitting that they brought a bone saw to an interrogation. Things went wrong. It's not believable. It's not credible. And the onus is really on Congress. I mean, are they actually going to confront President Trump, this bipartisan group who've been upset about this for days? Are they actually really going to do something? Because they know that the Saudi story is not believable. And they know that it was, even in some kind of detention and interrogation, would have been ordered by the government. It was not a rogue operation like President Trump is trying to sort of, you know.
Well, he's just parodying he's parodying what the king told him in the phone call. And again, we got to be, it's really important because Americans, by and large, don't pay a lot of attention to what's going on in Saudi Arabia. But
right.
And forget, I mean, I get it. I mean, so people have to kind of get caught up to speed here on what the landscape is over there. They're going through a change here. Right. The long standing old king passed away. His brother took over. Now his brother's old and infirm, not well, and is some say that he is, you know, not always mensis compass. He's not always with it. And he may have, you know, some form of dementia. And his son, who's now taking over. And again, you got to remember, these are cousins now who are taking over the kingdom of Saudi Arabia. This guy is 33 years old. He's young. He's said to be fairly ruthless. He's like you said, Jared Kushner's WhatsApp buddy. Maybe they retweet things for each other too. I don't know. But the crown prince is the guy who is the one who rounded up all the rest of the other cousins he didn't like and put them in detention until they acted and deported some of them, said, hey, you have a choice, get out or stay here and get arrested. Stay arrested. And then he kidnapped the Lebanese president who he didn't like. They're meddling in Syria. The crown prince is up to mischief throughout the region because they want to be the counterbalance to Iran. And somehow, and this is the most amazing part of this, somehow Israel is staying quiet about this. And I don't understand that in any way, shape, or form, because I think Jared thought he could lever the crown prince with Netanyahu and go, hey, you guys are both friends of mine. You can split up the Middle East any way you want it. We'll just kind of work it out. But there were some other people, whether it was, you know, Assad, or whether it was Putin, or whether it was the king of Jordan, or any of the other people, like, hey, what about us? And Israel is sitting quietly watching this, and they have their own political problems in that country. I cannot imagine. The Middle East is, I mean, this will be the story of 2019. this will be the story. And can this White House, especially now that Mattis is out because he's too much of a Democrat for Donald Trump? I mean, that's clear, right? Where do we go here?
Yeah, it's really a daunting and frightening prospect. It's clear that the Crown Prince made both President Trump and his son-in-law feel that they were going to be indispensable to containing the Iranian regime, and that, you know, that the U.S. couldn't do it without them, and obviously blew kisses in their ear about some kind of Middle East peace deal between the Palestinians and the Israelis. Obviously the skeptics, the sort of foreign policy experts, are really concerned that this is just naivete and that the Trump family has been had. But you layer on top of that their financial interests and the secrecy involved, and it's not looking good. So the way that President Trump can clear this all up is, and I don't even want to think about Mattis leaving, but apparently he's really going to leave in the next month or so. So it's going to be a whole new landscape. And Mike Pompeo, as I said, the Secretary of State, should not be standing next to the Crown Prince in some, like, grip and grin. It's the only way that this can be cleared up is for President Trump to act firmly and stand up to the Saudi government and to the Crown Prince, and none of us think that he will. But that's the only way to make the taint go away and to sort of resume our position. And otherwise, we look extraordinarily weak, mm-hmm. not only in front of, you know, Ali Khamenei in Iran, Kim in North Korea, Xi in China, Putin, and obviously Assad. It's just going to be really, he has no idea the damage it's going to do to us for him to just fold and just let the Crown Prince keep doing the talking.
All right. AB, happy Monday.
Yeah, it's another happy Monday, okay?
And sometimes you just stop and you think, I wish I didn't know. I wish I didn't see what I saw, and I wish I don't know what I know here.
But maybe we'll meet again next week, but maybe we'll be taken out by road killers. You just never know what's going to befall us.
Hey, did you bring the bone saw? I brought the bone saw. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, AB. Thanks, have a good week.
Yeah, that's how it goes. All right, Judy, can you tell us what's happening on the WGN News at the top of the hour?
A hidden camera in a downtown Chicago hotel. There.
Woo-hoo. All right. Woo-hoo.
What is that?
Woo-hoo.
Woo-hoo. Are there owls in here?
I'm just woo-hooing. Well, it's that time of the year. All right, coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, it's going to be... unplanned insanity is basically what it's going
excellent.
To be.
Excellent. Perfect for today.
Yeah. Because it's a little bit of how I feel. It just kind of
didn't. All coming together. Yeah. Not so well today.
Yeah. I watched it 60 minutes. You know,
I know.
I already had the Sunday scaries.
Well, because of the Bears game.
At the Bears game, I thought I was having literally a myocardial infarction during the Bears game.
I thought,
I'm not going to have that anymore. And I start making dinner, and I'm just mm-hmm. getting in and watch a little 60 minutes. Tick, 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 tick. And you get the Sunday scaries. The next thing you know, I'm being told, I am the president, and you are not. I am rubber. You are glue. What you say bounces off me and sticks to you. So so I'm going to put that all aside. Judy's News in 2 minutes from the WGN Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Got a couple questions for you here.
Okay.
Take you through afternoon, into the evening, mm-hmm. into the 6 o'clock. Sun's going down. Beautiful sunset in Chicago tonight.
Absolutely. Wow. Over the lake right now, there's sort of a pink, purple, blue haze. It's beautiful.
Beautiful. We live in a beautiful city.
Mm-hmm.
We can just straighten it out. All right. I would like to, you know how I hate to take credit for being right.
What everyone on the show independently knew as soon as this news broke, like, all right, Ro did call this one out on air immediately after it.
I have called all the people who have been indicted in the Operation Red Scare or whatever it is, the Trump Russian thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've named all those people, and they have all so far. There's more to come, by the way. We're not mm-hmm. done yet. But this one I saw when it happened. I'm like, this is just not going to last because I've been involved in things like this in my own life. Pete Davidson mm-hmm. and Ariana Grande. God bless them, those two kids. They couldn't work it out. 3 months into their relationship, 2 weeks after they met, they got engaged. What could possibly go wrong?
And 24 now they, and 25 years old, too. Pretty young.
Yeah, and now they have announced that they're unconsciously coupling. Or what is it called?
That's what Gwyneth Paltrow called it, but I don't think they're using those terms at all.
They're unconsciously decoupling. She's not in a good place right now. People say she's very upset.
Well, she did lose her friend, her ex.
Her ex-boyfriend killed himself.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's why she canceled her appearance as the musical guest for the season premiere, and then Kanye stepped in at the last minute.
Can I just say?
Changed the course of history.
Yes, it did. that's an excellent point. That is an excellent point. That Pete Davidson from Saturday Night Live, mm-hmm. who is the least talented of the cast members.
What does he do again?
Exactly. He doesn't have a single recognizable character. He's kind of interesting on the Weekend Update desk, only in that he admits that he's got mental illness and he looks like he's about to take his own life. That's the only thing that kind of makes him, that was his brand as a character actor there. But he doesn't do a bunch of stuff.
He's no more for writing, I guess. But
really?
However that,
I'm not
that means.
Quite sure where that goes. But the point, there's a point here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that she also knew. I think it was fun. It was kind of a bit for her. He's wacky, right? And he was so into her, he was willing to get a tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he got like a tattoo in a place that he will not describe.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I know.
Well, he's got one on his neck, but perhaps, yeah.
Perhaps more.
Got her a big engagement ring.
Does that say AA on it? Wait, no, hold on. Oh, no, that's Adriana. Oh, that's Ariana. Oh, I have to see the whole thing pulled out. Okay, I get it.
You know, what happened to this guy? All of a sudden, he's like pulling a Bieber. He's got the hair. He's got this weird look going on.
Well, that's because he was with her. But now they're no longer.
Classic Grande.
And you got to remember that at the season premiere,
mm-hmm.
there was a bit where the other guy's name I cannot remember, Kevin Mooney, I think his name is something Mooney, who is one of the, he's also a guy that you don't see in a whole lot of stuff, but he's a writer, was trying to get Lorne Michaels' attention. Kyle Mooney. He couldn't get Lorne Michaels' attention, but Pete Davidson got all of Lorne Michaels' attention because he was dating this really prominent pop star.
I think I can book her for the premiere.
Right. And it didn't work out. But then there was this moment. Do we have the weekend update moment from the premiere here where he talks, where Pete Davidson talks about Ariana Grande? And I kind of thought, when I heard this, I kind of thought that Ariana's agent was going to call her. But let's listen to it first.
Okay.
And now, here to talk about how he spent a summer is Pete Davidson.
So, my summer, yeah. Do I need to explain, or can I just, like, get into it?
Yeah, I think we could just get into it. Well, you got engaged to Ariana Grande? Yep.
Yeah, I did. Thank you. I did. I got engaged, and no one could believe it, and I can't believe it. And, yeah, I get it. She's the number one pop star in the world, and I'm that guy from SNL that everyone thinks is in desperate need of more blood.
He told Jimmy Fallon, I feel like I won a contest.
Right. He talked about how he can't believe he's in this apartment with her and everything.
$16 million apartment.
Well, okay. A little clarification on that. That apartment was on the market to purchase for $16 million.
But they were renting it?
They did not buy it.
Page Six has a purchase, but I don't think that.
Yeah, how did this guy pull this off? I'm looking at pictures.
I know.
Oh, my God. Okay, the guy did hit the lotto.
I think maybe there was something going on.
Completely,
you know, I think there's something else going on. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
Because there was some discussion early on in the relationship, because Ariana wanted to share this, about Pete Davidson's...
member?
Member, yeah. His members only. And
take you a long way in this world, apparently.
Apparently. but the fact is that the, you know, it was like within a couple weeks of that is when her ex-boyfriend killed himself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's rough.
So you had that moment. Yeah. And I just, I'm a little, and then I mean, I thought this was, the minute it was announced, I'm like, oh, come on. Come on.
You did say that.
This is never
going to last. You said
that
immediately. In fact, usually you allow celebrities at least a day or two of saying, oh, well, that's really nice. They, you know, they got engaged. You're like all over it.
She got bored of the member.
But then there was more of him talking about her. And every time he talked about her, it got weirder and weirder. Mm-hmm.
Well, congratulations. I know it's been kind of crazy.
Yeah. You know what? Do you remember when that whole city pretended that kid was Batman because he was like sick? That's what this feels like.
And have you been enjoying all the attention?
I hate it. It's awful. I'm so scared. Yo, I got death threats. Yeah.
Death threats.
Yeah. It's Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, and Pete Davidson. People who have gotten death threats.
Well, everybody gets a death threat. I mean, that's just kind of what it is now.
Public eye.
Yeah. And even on Twitter, people just threaten to kill each other on Twitter.
Yeah, but I'm glad that they didn't go through with it. Like, I would have stuck with it just so.
It was
so
never going to go. Well, it was never going to happen.
I would have done it just so you couldn't say, I told you so. And the whole world couldn't say, I told you so. You know?
There's a good reason to get married.
Well, it's not that, a good reason to get
always,
married, but...
That always lasts.
But when you make a bad decision, sometimes you double down.
I told you I would do
right
it.
Thing.
I'm marrying him. Yeah, spend my whole life together.
See, I told you.
So in 50 years, right. When we're still married, I can tell you, told you so.
Told you. I hate him.
I don't care that he's
totally,
a total mess up.
And he's a nut.
I'm miserable with him, but I told you so.
But I'm going to get over on you.
Well, you wouldn't be able to say, I told you so, and you wouldn't have that satisfaction.
Now, if you don't mind me asking, can I ask, what's the prenup situation?
Well, obviously, I wanted one, you know, so God forbid we split up and she takes half my sneakers. No, look, I'm totally comfortable being with a successful woman. I think it's dope. I live at her place, you know? She pays like 60 grand for rent, and all I have to do is like stock the fridge. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And this is, and then all of a sudden the call from the agent, baby, darling, sweetheart, listen.
Bubby,
I know that you love him and everything, but you're going to have to dump him. We'll find you somebody else. We can find you somebody just slightly more professional
attractive.
And attractive. Somebody more your style. Maybe a soccer player from Europe or something. That no one's ever heard.
The European market, like, kind of get global a little bit. For, yeah,
right.
Music sales.
Maybe Russian oligarch would be good. I get 10% of that, too.
Perfect.
Get global. Time to go international here. Get me a soccer player.
That would be good, because if you want to go with somebody nobody's ever heard of, this is the wrong way to do it.
I think she heard that from people in her circle.
I think when she saw him making fun of the thing on Saturday Night Live, I think it was already dead by then. I think it was probably dead. They got engaged in June, I think, right?
See, you
June
never acknowledge the fact that you outkicked your coverage. Because then the girl's like, wait a minute, what am I doing here?
Right.
Just act normal. Like, yeah, this is totally normal. I'm with
she
a pop star.
Knew.
Yeah, but once you
everyone
admit to
in
it,
her orbit was
it changes
her.
Everything when you admit that you completely outkicked your coverage.
Right. And now she's somehow working in, her agent and her publicist are now somehow working in the terrorist attack at her British concert. Remember when that happened?
Oh, yes.
A year ago?
That was so sad, yeah.
So they're working that in as part of the problem here. That's not part of the problem.
Well, he doesn't seem like a very good support system, so I think just overall when she has an issue come up, he's not there for her, so that could be a problem.
He's sitting on the couch in sweatpants, and, like, I don't know.
And he seems pretty insecure, so maybe with Mac Miller's death, her being upset about it, he's probably like, well, you're engaged to me.
I'm going to make everybody feel bad.
And then she's like,
I'm engaged to you?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
You guys, I'm going to make you feel bad just for a second, because it is an important note. Pete Davidson's father was a New York City firefighter, died in 9/11.
Yes, no, we knew that.
He
mentioned that in he actually mentioned that in that Saturday Night Live piece.
Wow.
Yeah. No. I mean,
so you can see where some of those, you know, insecurities.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
maybe
they've gone through some stuff.
Yeah, right. For young people.
I get it.
People.
And you can understand.
But you still knew. I mean, let's be honest. You did know. You knew right away this was not meant to be.
He's a comedian who plays off of him, of the central characterization of him is that he's nuts and he's on meds and he's just trying to deal with it in a positive way. I mean, it's like it's the next sort of iteration of you know, he needs to be. Part of his therapy is to be honest about it.
Turns
I get
to
all
comedy
of that.
For
right,
kind of,
and this is already kind of that was already baked into the cake with him because you know in part it may be due to his loss gigantic loss when he was a young child.
Mm-hmm.
I get all of that. That has nothing to do with Ariana Grande. This has got to do with but the minute he met her on the show. That's how they ended up started the dating. Right? She was into him. Okay, fine. Whatever. It was a fling. But that's if I'm the agent, baby darling, sweetheart, it's a fling. Go ahead. So he's got a big Schwanz, whatever. It's okay. If that's what you like, it's fine.
You don't want to marry one of those.
But you don't want to marry the Schwanz. It's not what you need.
Don't marry the
You need an oligarch. I've got a guy.
It's not consistent.
I also have a guy who's, by the way, he's the former general manager of Real Madrid. He was a huge soccer sensation. I don't know his name.
We'll find him for you, though.
But we'll get him for you.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. All right.
Yeah, but not surprising news at all.
Well, they had a good run.
I can't believe Grande's 25.
I know. It seems like she's been around a long time because she was a Disney star first.
I guess she looks like she's 15, so I get from that angle, but it feels like she's been around forever.
And he's 26 or something, right?
24.
He's way too young.
Yeah, if you see a younger man, baby darling, sweetheart, Bubby, listen, we cannot do this.
Plus, they are so young. They could have got married and divorced. They got time.
I do like that. I think, though, the highlight of this little moment
was
when Violetta said she would have gotten married just to prove me wrong. I'm going to prove you wrong.
Not just you, everybody.
All the haters. Oh, I'm going to marry this loser just to prove to you that I'm willing to marry this loser.
I know.
And that makes me a loser.
I'm not bluffing.
I will do it. I'll marry him.
Oh, Mike. That's so Violetta right there.
All right. Mm-hmm. Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the newsroom?
It could be the biggest one-day hiring blitz. Then there is this. November 6th, you have the power to influence the course of politics. Follow the most comprehensive local political news online. ChicagoTribune.com/midterms.
Bad news for Stormy Daniels.
Uh-oh. What now?
She's dating Pete Davidson.
Well, he was available.
No, hold on. I'm sorry.
She found someone uglier than her. Him.
Burn from Violetta.
Burn.
Woo!
Off the top ropes.
Not holding back.
It felt weird coming out. I take it back, actually.
I take it back.
Violetta's had a long day. She's a little tender right now.
Yeah.
She's turned on all of us.
No, I haven't.
Yes, you did earlier. Well, I'd marry him. Just to prove that I'm married.
Spite you guys.
Yeah. Anyway, the point is Stormy Daniels has lost her lawsuit against the president. It's gotten tossed out, and she is being required to pay his legal bills.
Oh, boy.
Now, is that to Michael Cohen? Because do you have to pay Michael Cohen's legal bills when he lost his law license? Do you have to do that? That's kind of an interesting problem.
It is interesting.
Yeah. She's going to be working hard.
Mm.
Oh, she's going to be back at the Admiral now, shaking all of that stuff.
She's going to hope the book sells really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where she's going to make her money.
I just want to say, I don't want to make this political, but I guess I have to at this moment. This is where Democrats have really kind of lost it. When they were counting on Michael Avenatti and Stormy Daniels to be, like, their quarterbacks for this midterm election, it's like John Fox wanting, it's like the worst possible solution. Instead of finding like quality candidates and a message and a line and having them out there and Avenatti running away with this thing.
Yeah, he put out a statement today acting like this is still a victory for them, which is hard to believe that's even possible to characterize in that way.
I mean, he is. He was the also ran of this. Didn't even run into a Trump buzzsaw because there are a lot of people rooting for him. Like, okay, maybe he's got the goods here, but he didn't. He ran into his own, but he buzzed himself. He's the Pete Davidson of lawyers. Oh, that's harsh. Pete, I'm sorry for that. I know you're tender.
Where does he go from here now, you know?
I don't know. He wants to run for president and all that. Please.
Gonna go from Grande to somebody else.
It's like a clown car in Iowa right now, opening up and all these people like pouring out.
But let me ask the girls on the show. So does a guy become more attractive? Like when you're like, wow, that guy dated Ariana Grande. Does he become a more attractive potential there?
I guess you start wondering, so what's going on there? Is there something you're overlooking?
Right. Like, this guy got her? What I need to know. Is that's the thought process?
Yeah, I think so. That's why a guy would benefit by just saying someone's their ex who's not, maybe.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, it's good.
All kinds of advice.
Good to know
today.
When I go to the bar.
Really good instinct right there. That's good.
And then marry her just to prove your parents wrong.
Right.
I've done a lot of things to prove people wrong. That's like my motivation in life.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a good. That's good. The president has the same motivation to make him president. How about that? Daddy's going to love me. I don't care. Look at this.
I'm not a baby.
All right. Right now, Judy Pilak standing by. She's got the WGN News brought to you by Penny Mustard Furnishings.
You don't even get royalties for that Pete Davidson song. But like in 10 years, if God forbid that ever happened, there will be a song called Pete Davidson like playing in speakers at Kmart. And I'll be working there.
Pete Davidson, everyone.
She really wrote this song.
I thought you were into my life. Wow. Look in my mind. Yeah. No better place all the time. Yeah. How they align. You nervous must have my back. Up on the fat into my lap. And I know you know that you must own me and all that. I'm like, ooh.
I just can't imagine. In the studio when they're cutting the Pete Davidson song and Ariana Grande is there and all of her people and the producers and the producers are trying to make it like make it make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And the producer, everyone in the room is going, who's this guy? The whole time.
Do you think it's sort of like the tattoo artist saying, well, this might be a bad idea.
Right.
This could be over before it gets released.
Yeah, exactly. Like the tattoo artist, right. Yeah. Going, all right, really? Do you want it to say Ariana all the way? Really?
Picture of her with those cat ears.
Do you want that? And you want to put that there?
Do something that's more easily changeable, kind of fungible into something else.
Yeah.
Like a temporary tattoo.
Right. Yeah. A henna.
He also got a tattoo of a pig. She was talking about wanting a pig, and then someone sent a pig to her house. And then he got a tattoo of that pig.
Oh my God!
Hard to explain to the next girlfriend.
But you know what? I can't. Right. I can't.
He's got the full sleeve going, huh? This guy's super tatted up.
Yeah. And for a while, I mean, he went a couple. Was it last season on Saturday Night Live? I'm sorry, I'm obsessed with this because it's like it's like a cautionary tale. So this is a cautionary tale for Kev and Violetta, you know, who are sort of similar in age to these two, although they're even a little younger than these two, but.
They make me feel old.
But also a cautionary tale to parents to like step in and go, hey, you know, you might want to, you know, stop and think.
Right.
You know, kind of a moment.
Right. How old are you guys? You haven't even gotten engaged to someone totally unsuited for you yet?
Yes, and I know that Pete is, you know, he lost his dad in 9/11 and you know, the mom is
and
like,
she's dealt with loss as well, my gosh.
Yeah. And she has too, right? But somebody go, you know, maybe gonna sort of slow it up a little bit.
You know, that is interesting. You don't know her parents, or at least I don't. They're not really in the public eye, are they? No, I mean, I haven't met them, but most famous kids,
you're
actors,
just thinking
you
the Kardashians. Not everybody's mom puts out a sex
tape.
Well,
no, but Bieber. I mean, but those are momagers, though. With the moms that are like the managers. I don't know that Ariana, but like, she came up through the Disney system.
Yeah,
so Disney's the mom.
The Disney farm system? Right, I didn't know she was a Disney crew.
Oh, yeah. She came up through that.
Wow.
Like you don't know who Timberlake's parents are either. Because why? Because it's like, you know, because you know what? I'm his dad, right?
That's how it works.
I taught him all those moves. So that's how that goes. But it's this well, is a different situation.
Davidson can now, for the rest of his life, say, I dated Ariana Grande, though. He's got that going for
and
him.
And engaged, too. Do you think she's keeping the ring?
It's a $100,000 ring, and he...
How much does this guy make?
Not a lot. Not that.
Well, maybe she paid for it.
Yeah, he took a loan.
Well,
I'll pay you back, Ariana.
Do you mind? Do you, it's like Prince Frederick von Anhalt with Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Yeah.
It's the same sort of thing. Uh-huh. He's wearing like a Ferrari outfit and walking around. Yeah, she's not so going so good. She's face button, not pleasing. How do you think she is? It's not a good situation. I'm sorry to be obsessed with this, but it's better than talking about Meghan Markle being pregnant.
Oh, you're trying to avoid that. Oh, I see what's going on.
Congratulations
to the happy couple.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Who saw that coming? Mm-hmm. So the thing that is like that gets me on this is he's worth like $1 million, which I'm sure is not accurate.
That he is. Well,
because what do SNL members make? I mean, it all just depends
not
on
a lot.
Rank, right?
Not
like,
a lot.
How long you've been
they
there?
They make a lot, yeah. And they make a lot more based on, because they get paid per week that they're working.
Right.
That's how that contract goes. And I think on SNL, I think it's 24 shows, I think, a season, something like that. So what's 20? So maybe makes quarter. You know, maybe makes I don't know. Maybe makes a quarter. Anywhere between $300,000 and $400,000 a year. Be my
and
guess.
He's a stand-up,
on that.
Right?
So and he's a stand-up, and he
doesn't
goes
make
out.
Anything on there.
Well, those guys do go out and they go on tour when they're not doing. They have other projects. They work movie projects and things like that. That's how they really make their money, and they use Saturday Night Live as the platform to make other money, and that's how it gets sold to them. That's when Lauren invites them into the office and tells them,
"Come here.
I'm not going to make you rich, but you're going to make you rich." And that's where the agent shows up because, "Don't worry, I've got this. I will make them rich." And you know, it's not Hollywood math. It's New York entertainment math. It's a totally different play.
Well, Pete Davidson might have a little more money because there was a GoFundMe set up for him. Pete Davidson homeless because he has to move out of Ariana Grande's New York pad, $16 million pad.
Pete, darling, sweetheart, bubby, listen. Here's what we're gonna do. Because you can't afford to pay me anymore, I'm going to set up a GoFundMe to pay me.
But now the way the girls on the show are talking, it sounds like, I mean, he's going to score, a you know, because once you date someone like this, your status goes
up. Not going to score like that, my friend.
Yeah, but it's going to be better than what you would have if Pete Davidson was a nobody guy, you know, who never dated Ariana Grande. I like this technique. I'm just going to find some babes online. But yeah, it's my ex-girlfriend right here.
Yeah, girls love that, too.
Yeah,
we love seeing pictures of your ex-girlfriend.
Right, just brag about her and talk about her nonstop.
That's sort of what I'm looking for,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, I used to... although, I think in the clubs, I mean, I don't know what it's like a Concrete Cowboy, but...
You'd have to ask Boris would tell you.
A lot of dating.
Yeah, but it's sort of like there is... I think that might be... like I think he's going to get taken home at night.
Wait,
just
what?
To see what's going on there.
People have heard the legend.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Like for a one night,
yeah.
fun thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a little Netflix and chill.
Yeah.
But he can't afford the Netflix and he needs Ariana's password
right,
to get
exactly.
in.
Right, exactly. Hey, that's his come online. I've got Ariana's Netflix password.
I still use
you
it.
You want to go home with me?
We can stream all night.
Play
your
song.
We have to go to your place because I'm kind of in between places right now.
We're going to have to watch it on our phones too because I don't have a TV.
But we do have a cool song named after me we could play.
You want me to play my... it's my ringtone on my phone. Call me right now, and it'll play Ariana... it'll be Ariana Grande singing Pete Davidson. It's really cool. All right, let's just let it play.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you were into my life.
Wow.
Look in my mind.
Yeah.
No better place all the time.
Hey.
How they align. Universe must have my back. Up on the fat into my lap. And I know you know that you mess all me and all that. I'm like, ooh.
Is she in the Jay-Z camp?
The Jigga Man.
I don't think so. Let me look that up.
Yeah, who's her crew? Who's her celebrity crew outside
of
this
Because that sounds
guy?
Like a Jay-Z produced record right there.
All her music sounds the same to me. It's like, yeah, Nickelback. It literally is the
She's
same
Nickelback.
To me.
She's the American Nickelback.
Oh, God.
Is what she is. She's the postmodern American Nickelback.
She hangs out with Miley Cyrus.
That what could possibly
Pete
go
Davidson
wrong there.
Pete Davidson kind of looks like Miley Cyrus now. He's kind of trending that direction.
He's a tall Miley Cyrus.
This is going in another direction.
That skin and the eyes thing going on there. And it's got those...
Okay. This just tells you... I'm sorry. Now I've gone... I don't even know who I am anymore.
I know what you're talking about.
A
25-year-old
reading
pop star.
I was just reading an article about Miley Cyrus.
Oh, an article. Okay.
Yes. It's very important. A very important periodical. I think it's called Peopl or United States Weekly, right? Isn't that what that's called?
Yeah, Us Weekly.
Like a hard copy magazine or on the web?
On the web, on my phone.
Okay.
Not the point of the story. So what happened?
So... the issue with Miley Cyrus is an interesting one because she's in a bit of a renaissance here.
Are you following along, kids?
She is going through an artistic change. Mm-hmm. She's going to go back. She looks back on the whole Wrecking Ball and is sticking her tongue out and twerking with Robin Thicke as kind of a, you know, the bottom of her career, even though that was the very top of her career. And she's trying now to reinvent herself, and she's got this more soulful album.
She's trying to be normal
out.
Again. Yes. She's trying to be normal
And
again.
She's trying, and she's, and her writing is, because, you know, they immediately linked me to listen to her music on this little thing on my phone, and it was actually pretty good. I mean, she's going back to her Nashville roots. It's not country. Mm-hmm. It's still pop, but it's a little more thoughtful.
She's a powerhouse if she were to use her voice properly.
She's great.
So who's she dating? Is she with the Bieber? Or who's
no,
she with?
No, she's with the Hemsworth brother.
Well, she's back with him now because they were apart.
Oh my gosh.
Then they were together, and they were apart. Now they're back together.
Well,
maybe.
You notice this engagement and marriage has all to do with the crazy and the not crazy, because when she was doing Wrecking Ball, that's when she wasn't with him.
Right.
Now she's settling down a little bit, deciding to start
Right. She's not with the Hemsworth that was the superhero.
No, she's with from the Hunger Games.
That guy, that Hemsworth, right? There's two Hemsworth. There's the thin Hemsworth, and then there's the blank poop house.
He's really cute. I like them together. Yeah. I like Miley more so now that she's with him.
Okay. Well, let's see that worked out. And now what we do is get Ariana to be more like Miley. Maybe that will work out.
Maybe.
Maybe that will be good.
She'll set her up with somebody.
Maybe at Jay-Z's house. I don't know why I've worked Jay-Z into this whole thing.
He's in the story, too.
Beyonce gets to get, you know, maybe Beyonce.
She can mentor them.
Walks into the room and says, hey.
I don't know where you got all this pop culture from. You are just.
From one read of Us Magazine.
Hey, Blue Ivy, be quiet in there. I'm trying to help Ariana over here. Jay-Z, stay out of this. Would you like a Heineken? I can get you a Heineken. It's right here on the side of the wall. That was the most sexist commercial campaign in history, by the way. The Heineken campaign where he was like ordering Beyonce to go get him a beer.
Oh, great.
Baby, my girlfriend calls. Don't pick up the phone. Anyway, the point is that maybe this is all going to be good. But it still doesn't work out for Pete Davidson, no matter what my fantasy is here.
But we never really thought it was.
I think Pete Davidson gets fired midstream this year on Saturday Night Live.
Let's just wish him happiness and health.
You had a good run, buddy.
I do. I wish him. I think I'm assuming he's a great writer.
He can go downhill from here. After
yes, I know. Quickly.
I mean, he just went from that to like, what the hell am I doing now?
Yeah.
I'm a single dude who looks like, as he says, needs more blood pumped into his body.
Yeah,
but to end this all, I have a question for all of you. Will they get back together? Is it going to be an on-again, off-again Selena Gomez-Bieber situation?
No.
No.
I say yes.
No. I answer that for everybody.
Are you president? We're not.
President? No, the agent is also. He's also from New York. So it's the same thing. No, they will not be getting back together.
Bubby won't allow it.
Bubby, I cannot have you do this.
All right. Well, there you have it.
Here's a nice settlement. Here's $50. Go find yourself something.
Something.
Probably should get back the ring too.
She should get back the ring because he's going to need the $100,000.
Yeah, and maybe multiply, like, you know, give
but
him
if
a
you
check.
Go now, I don't know how I know this, but if you buy a $100,000 ring and then you do try to sell it back, give it back to the jeweler,
isn't worth that anymore.
They will give you $60,000 for it.
Oh,
I would just hang on to it then for the next one.
Yeah, well, that's what she'll do then.
That's an exact number there.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Rose doing the percentage.
Telling you what the actual numbers are. All right. Here is, that's if you get the ring back, but then if you don't.
That can be complicated.
Thrown at you or handed.
Yeah, either way.
We're opening up old wounds here.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Do you have, let's check in with Andrea. I don't need to talk about this anymore. Andrea.
Roe.
What's going on in the newsroom at the top of the hour?
Two police officers face disciplinary action, possibly firing after shooting at a car carrying a teenager.
Are you team Ariana or are you team Pete Davidson?
Ariana.
Okay.
Totally.
Are you team Miley Cyrus?
No. Wait, who's her
or Liam,
other person?
Liam Hemsworth.
Oh God, no. Team Liam.
Team Liam. All right. Interesting.
Why?
I'm just keeping notes.
Taking
here.
A tally.
Right, exactly.
He's going to analyze us all after
yes,
this.
I'm going
oh,
to,
right. It's like reading tea leaves.
Yes, I don't know, and I can't figure out who anybody is anymore at this. But I just want to say that I am spending way too much time on these celebrity sites. All right, let's check in now with Violetta for the last traffic report of the afternoon.
Then there's this. Adam Hogue checks in from Halas Hall tomorrow, 9:10 in the morning. Looking forward. To the Patriots game, and he'll be on the Steve Cochran show with lots to say about that. And he won't mention the loss to the Dolphins. Don't worry about it, Will. We're moving on beyond that.
How many losses is this so far?
Two. Okay. Only two.
Okay.
They're 3-2. Three wins,
it's all
two
gonna
losses.
Be okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine.
First place.
You're still in first place, yes.
Sure. And Kevin and I still like Trubisky, we believe.
If the if Green Bay wins tonight, are they still in first place?
They are. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Because there's ties.
Because the tie. I was so afraid they were going to get a tie.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I thought about that too.
Last night, but then I was thinking, oh, they're going to miss this field goal, then they're going to get a tie.
Right.
I didn't realize that they were going to miss a field goal and lose the game.
No, that didn't occur to me either. Till the end. Deep breaths.
Just ask Pete Davidson. You win some, you lose some.
Yes. This is. Yeah.
Oh. Do you think she broke up with him, or do you think the agent broke up with him?
You're
I don't know.
Obsessed.
I am
you
obsessed.
Are obsessed. You need to stop.
They were on the set of SNL this past weekend, kissing and hugging, by the way.
Whoa.
Well, that didn't work out.
Is this a whole scheme, a PR scheme?
I don't know.
Conspiracy.
Read into it what you
I'm
will.
On Davidson's side. I mean, he's the common man, obviously
common
way
man.
Outkicked his coverage, scored
is
a pop
a
star.
You keep saying that.
Yes, that's
coverage?
A term. Yeah,
it's when a guy who dates someone who's like way better looking than them.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Judy Pilak from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on... Oh, not Judy Pilak. What am I saying? Andrea Darlis. We just talked to Andrea.
She's here.
Very confused. Right after this. All right. Patty is here. Andrea is here. We're all here.
Have you ever offered me $1 million?
I don't know if you ever...
I can't remember. If someone says, do something, I'll give you $1 million.
You try to do it.
Should we hold them to it?
I would. I would, too.
I don't know.
I don't know if it's enough.
I'll give you $1 million.
Yeah, the .00024. I don't know if it's good. I don't know. I think
hey, she took the test. All he said was, take the test and see if you have any...
Prove something.
No,
prove?
If you have Indian blood. I like the way he said it. Like it's, again, it's like a John Wayne movie. she's got Indian blood. You can't marry her. You know, it's like crazy.
Right.
It's like, where are
like
we?
The whole dollary. Thing is crazy.
Yes, yeah. It is. It's very crazy. Anyway, I'll give you $1 million if...
Okay.
I have to decide what the rest of that is. Something that you can't possibly do. We actually have a packed show tonight, but we're going to kick it off a little bit later with Diaz case law to talk about if you are in the middle of some sort of parental right situation and the court has already made a decision, can you appeal that?
Oh.
So many of my friends are going through this.
Me
I know
too.
We talked about this last week.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it can
make
be
changes.
Painful to try to figure out decisions and not knowing the system. So that's awesome.
I told my husband, no one gets out of this marriage alive.
Unless I win the Mega Millions. Did you tell him that?
Right.
No.
Unless you win.
No, I gotta commit. I gotta commit.
I have $1 billion in my pocket right now.
Uh-huh.
You have one billion.
I have both. I have the winning tickets for the Mega and for the...
Powerball. All right.
Yeah.
Can I chip in on some of that?
It's over $1 billion. Yeah.
You will give us $1 million if we just do something really simple.
I didn't say that.
We're your friends.
Did I say that? Mm-hmm. Did I say that? No.
No, you didn't. I was trying to get you to.
Who cares? To quote the president.
I didn't say that. Read it again. Why am I doing this? Anyway, have a great night, you guys.
Bye, guys.